Hey there, Bob Boylan here. When you support your local station, you help NPR create new programming, you help support the ones you love. So just do it. Donate.npr.org/allsongs. Just go there. Donate.npr.org/allsongs. Yes, do it. It can only mean one thing. I'm so tired. And then I put this on, and now all of a sudden I'm alive, Lars.
It's Vikings Choice 2017.
Yay!
With me, Lars Gottrich.
Great to have you. So, thank you for the jolt.
Yeah, dude.
Nothing I did this all day today did this to me. That this is, and this is?
Chapang.
Let's listen more, yes?
Yeah.
Tell us who this is and where they are from and what they are saying, maybe?
Chapang is originally from Nepal. They immigrated to New York, but all of their songs are screamed in Nepalese, and they don't provide direct translations, more like slogans for each song. So for this one in particular, you can hear them singing out here a little bit at the end. But they're a very, they're extremely political band. They came from an extremely oppressive government, Nepal, and they sought refuge in the United States at a particularly fraught time. But it seems to fuel their songwriting even more because they came from such like an extreme part of the political world. This song in particular, the slogan that they offer in the liner notes is "Evolved to be ignorant, dumb ass sheep." and I heard about this band because I typically go to Maryland Death Fest every year, which is an annual metal festival in Baltimore, Maryland. And I was only able to go to one day this year, and I went on the last day, so everybody's tired, and like you walk into the venue, and everybody's just kind of like dragging along and haphazard, like really slothily trying to mosh, and it's an interesting day to like show up
fresh,
yeah. But I missed this band called Chapang, and that's the band that everybody was talking about. Two drummers, a guitarist who also screams, and then a dedicated vocalist. And there's just so much raw power and energy, but also a lot of inventiveness in this like really brutal but very like elegant grindcore that they make.
That's awesome. And Bandcamp is one place to find them, yeah?
Absolutely.
Cool. So for those who've never heard Vikings Choice, there's years of it to go through. We try to, and Lars tries to bring music to us that we don't play all year long and that is noise-oriented at times, but also ambient-oriented. And, well, I think texture is always the key.
Texture is a big part of
what you pick.
Yeah, and I write a lot about this on the All Songs Considered blog, and we'll be covering some of the things that I've written about this year, but also some things that I may not have had time for or wanted to cover and just never got around to. So I want to highlight those things as well.
Great. Some things are very loud like that, and some things are not, like maybe...
Oh, yeah. Well, let's pick something that's not that. Well, why don't we go the extreme opposite?
Okay.
Chuck Johnson.
Excellent.
So Chuck Johnson, I've been following his musical career for a little while now, and I've mostly written about his solo guitar music, very much, you know, in the school of, contemporary of Jack Rose and sorts like that. But he is also a soundtrack composer. He's written a lot for documentaries, both on TV and in film. And he's been exploring the pedal steel within his own work in recent years. You heard it a little bit on, he put out a record last year, I believe it's called Crown and Velvet. and it was kind of his rock record, and he played some pedal steel on that record, but it was more in a rock situation. Mm-hmm. This is not. It is loops and textured layers of solo pedal steel. And we should just listen to it a little bit just because it's gorgeous.
I go home now and just listen to this.
It's a gorgeous record. It's a record called Basalms. It's a record label called VSDQ, who one of their primary functions is to release solo guitar records. And the pedal steel is a guitar. It's not the only thing the label does, but it's definitely like it's strings, it's steel, and Chuck Johnson just has such a he has such a delicate understanding of the instrument. There's so much you can do with this instrument that is, there's certainly, you hear a lot of it in country music, obviously. I think of are you familiar with the player, Susan Alcorn?
No.
She's Baltimore based. She came from country music, and then she discovered Ornette Coleman. And so her music, her pedal steel music kind of like went that direction, and it really opened my ears to what this instrument can do. And obviously listening to this, you can literally stretch out the notes because that's what the instrument is made for.
Yeah, it's very vocal, and it really sort of can mimic the voice. I think it's why it connects so well with me. Daniel Lanois is another explorer of that kind of ambient pedal steel music. I'm happy about this. This is a great discovery at the end of the year for me.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad.
Yeah. What do you want to tell me, Daniel? Okay. Where to?
Do you want to stay in this mode?
Yeah, let's do one more like that, and then we'll do something loud and shake it up.
So 7 years ago, on our annual year-end Vikings Choice show, I introduced an artist called The Fun Years. And this is the first record in 7 years from that duo. It's a record called Heroes of the Second Story Walk-Up. And why don't you go ahead and play a little bit under.
Sounds like cut-up tapes and...
So it is a duo of a baritone guitarist and a turntablist. And you can, if you really like bear down on your headphones, you can hear the deep textured crackles of the record and just like that very soothing loop that just like just does not end and keeps throughout the entirety of this track.
This is an 8-minute track. I'm just going to move in a little bit just so we can see what happens.
Yeah.
The song is The Delusion Always Wins.
Yeah. So originally when this record came out, it was released as a single 45-minute track, which I actually really loved because it really does tell this textural story between these two instruments. And then they re-released it and cut it up into the 7 tracks, which just makes it easier so people can kind of like dive in where they want. But it's really a record where, depending on like where you're at in your day, where you're at in your psyche, where you're at in your person, it's speaks differently to you every single time. I play this for friends and they just don't move. They're just like transfixed by this record. And it's hard not to hear why. But even just like hearing this little segment, this little melodic theme really pays off in the last like 5 minutes of this record, where it just like turns into this Godspeed You Black Emperor like level of noise as the turntable like does its thing.
I hadn't gotten that far. This is cool. Let's listen just a little more of this right here. The album title is a curious name.
Yeah, they're kind of funny. All of their song and album titles have been kind of funny.
Heroes of the Second Story Walk Up, if we didn't mention that.
Yeah, but their music is so emotional and serious.
Have you seen them live? I wonder how that works.
I don't know that they perform live. They're a bi-coastal duo. Okay. Right. So I don't know if they've performed live. I would love to see them perform. Yeah. Cool. That would be fascinating to me.
All right, we'll make some noise now.
Yeah, we can be a little bit louder. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is Rata Negra from Madrid, Spain.
Yeah.
There are members that, the reason I was drawn to this record came out earlier in the year. It's called Odio Absoluto, and it came out in January, but I've been listening to it ever since just because the songs are so tightly packed and extremely well written. The reason I was interested in it is because it features members of two other Madrid punk bands that I like a lot, called Juanita y los Fios and La URSS. Forgive me, I don't know how to say those four letters in Spanish. And I've loved both of those bands, and those bands have kind of broken up and have like really like interlocked their powers for like this extremely poppy and very powerful punk rock record. And it's released on this label that, honestly, every single release they put out this year I could play on this show.
There's only like 30 seconds left in the song behind us. Let's put it up. Minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so back to this label. So this was put on the label called La Vida Es Un Mus, which is based out of London, and they put out a lot of Spanish language punk rock, but they kind of like run the gamut of like punk and hardcore. Like they put out all the best punk and hardcore records this year. They put out a record by the New York hardcore band Haram, who screams all their songs in Arabic. They put out a record by the Brazilian post-punk band Hakta, by the French punk band Lys. They put out the first album in 11 years by Limp Wrist. It's just like they have a ridiculous discography.
Where are you finding this on? If people want to stream or download?
The name of the label is La Vida Es Un Mus, and they have a Bandcamp site. Honestly, just pick anything and play, and if you're into punk and hardcore, you're going to find something to love.
Great. And we'll put these songs online, so it'll be a little gateway to finding out where to find more.
Absolutely.
Great. How about more punk?
I don't have any more punk, but I do have something that it channels the spirit.
What should I hit?
We're going to play Fireworks by Irreversible Entanglements. So this past year, I went to a performance at a Smithsonian Museum here in Washington, D.C. The band that played was a band mixed of members from Washington, D.C., Philly, and New York. and they just channeled like Art Ensemble of Chicago, A Tribe Called Quest, and like Amiri Baraka and the New York Quartet, like all in one space. And then you have this dynamite vocalist that you may know as More Mother. They perform as More Mother anyway.
When did your heart break? At what point did you break down and cry out, I can't take this anymore? Scream, I want to leave the country. Or did you just want to leave the city? Did you want to leave the planet? Did you hear the last breath of a woman getting her throat slashed before you left? I guess that would depend on your location between Philadelphia and Chicago. You see them fireworks last night? We was up on the hill, I found myself thinking about war. And out of nowhere, we was dead. Like 10 bullets traveling throughout the city, killing nothing but black people. A whole bunch of us at the same time, different locations. Sometimes through the heart, most times through the head. I was 14, she was 16, he was 7, and she was 23. Last thing we saw was fireworks symbolizing something. Can't tell the difference between America and the unknown, us forever expanding and reshaping the landscape. Collapsing the poor far away, far from any dreams and wishes you have been planning on or hoping for yourself. Far away from you and your politics, this class war will permanently push us out of sight. If you didn't let them kill us already. We are post-World War III. And everyone is dead or at home, deleting the human parts of themselves. Control, alt, delete, backspace, escape, escape, escape. Ain't nobody coming back outside to be safe again. Today done moved every black body, not hanging from a tree, not in prison, not shucking and jiving in the house of appropriation, out. One thing for sure, people are dying with each blink of the eye. Did it break your heart when you learned he was only 7? Did it break you? Were you forever changed when she got chopped down with an axe by a man who said he was afraid? Are you afraid? Are you distracted? Are you afraid? Are you afraid? Are you afraid?
Musicians seem more seasoned than other players we've played so far. Are they all older or?
No, I think they're all in their either in their late 20s or okay. 30s, but they're all very seasoned within their own scene, certainly. One of them, the bassist is Luke Stewart, who's based here in Washington, D.C., and he's been a jazz and rock and hip hop and everything else musician here for a long time. One of the saxophonists is Kieran Nieringer, who has been he put out a brilliant solo saxophone record a couple years ago that I called Ceremonies of the Air that I just absolutely loved. The easy way to maybe think about it is Colin Stetson if it wasn't so brutish. which I think is cheapening it a little bit, but it gives you a path. I'm forgetting the names of the trumpeter and the drummer, but Moore Mother, who makes experimental music with spoken word, is the vocalist that you heard at the top.
Right.
And it's just, it's not protest music, it's rebellion music. And you can hear it through the composition as it kind of like needles through like these very powerful themes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it definitely calls back to 60s free jazz, but it feels extremely current and urgent to like what's happening currently.
Very cool. I like this a lot. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back with Lars Gotrich and more Viking's Choice. And you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Squarespace. Need a website for your growing business? Customize look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SONGS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Keep dreaming, but make it a reality with a website from Squarespace.
I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Lars Gotrich. You're talking Viking's Choice. We're talking about the sort of outer edges of music, music maybe you didn't get to listen to this year. A little harder, a little louder, a little weirder. Where are we heading next?
I think we go to Kralis.
We do that each year, don't we?
Just about. Okay. I would definitely consider them one of my favorite metal bands.
I love the title called Rank Mankind.
So Kralis put out two albums this year within a month of each other. So there's this
Were
one.
Were they kind of sisters of one another? Did
sort of. So this one is called Loom. So one of them is called Go Be Forgotten. That's the most recent one that came out. This record is called Loom, and it features both the vocals and co-writing chops of Dave Edwardson, who's a member of the band Neurosis. And it's fascinating to hear those two juggernauts of like experimental metal like really come together and meet and make some of the heaviest music that Kralis has ever made, because Kralis's compositions can be kind of impenetrable. They're kind of like a concrete puzzle of metallic mayhem. And, you know, you'd be forgiven if you can't like lock in right away. But I think the thing that's interesting, particularly about this collaboration, is that there is a grounding, even though it sounds chaotic. It almost feels like Kralis has increasingly become more compositional over time, less about being just a metal band and more about thinking about this is metallic chamber music. We should listen to some more.
Okay. We'll be right back. drummer is absolutely out of his skull.
Lev is an incredible drummer, and just this past month, Lev, the drummer for Kralis, who's in like five other bands, had a night in New York where he performed in all five bands as kind of like a musical tag team.
Oh,
and the members of his various bands would just kind of like tag in and he would have to play, which is a great feat of execution. I hope he made it. I hope he's still alive after it.
I hope there's a video. I want to watch that.
It's great idea, a ridiculously over the top idea.
Let's go quiet.
Well, this is kind of quiet. It's disquieting.
Ariadne? Is that how you say it?
This is Ariadne. This is a duo based out of New York. I didn't know anything about this duo until there's a label that I like called Oris Apothecary that puts out a lot of the experimental and noise music. And this is a record called Stabat Mater. This is Lars Catnip right here, because an operatic soprano,
right,
singing lyrical adaptations of Christian mystics over jittering, bwonging noise.
You just sent around a picture of your mom singing choral music, and you were sitting not really paying as much attention as you might pay attention to this.
Right. I'd certainly attention to my mom now, but yes. Yeah. But I love sacred music. I come from that tradition myself, having grown up in the church, but I still study it now. But I'm also very much attracted to kind of like perversions of sacred music. And this is, you know, and this has kind of been an interesting year for it. Between this and there's a label called Brave Mysteries that commissioned a bunch of noise, weirdo folk, and psychedelic musicians to write compositions inspired by Catholic saints. And it's called Communion of Saints. And it's just as bewildering and strange and beautiful. But we should listen to a little bit more of this.
Okay. The whole record stay in this kind of tone, or
it kind of stays in this kind of tone. This is I believe it's his first or second track, and it definitely sets the tone. But there, it will sometimes envelope and get more abstract as the record goes forward, and the voice just becomes like this very jittery, erratic instrument, mm-hmm. And then it will come back and then collapse again. And yeah, it has a mode, and you have to be in that temperament, I think. But
I was trying to figure out what they were doing, if it's a live voice that's getting chopped up live, or
this song feels like it's a live voice on top of
chaos,
but definitely throughout the record the voice gets chopped up.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. Let's play a couple more things before we go out here and
absolutely
in 2017. What are we you tell me. I don't know what's left here. You've played nothing that's sort of catchy.
Right.
We save that for the end?
Yeah, we can save that for the end.
All right.
So there's a songwriter that I've been following for a number of years, who, her name is Haley Four, and she records under the name Sukadiya. She's a fascinating songwriter to me because so much of her songwriting stems from her voice. She has this deep baritone that really has taken on a life of its own. She's really leaned into it in these last few releases. She put out a record 2 years ago, Sukadiya, and then last year she put out a record under the name Jackie Lynn. And she decided she wanted an alter ego where she was a cocaine-dealing cowboy in LA or something like that. And it was an interesting record, and people really latched onto it in a weird way that I think she was surprised by herself. And so this new record, it's called Reaching for Indigo under Sukadiya, and she decided to take everything that she has learned, not just from the Jackie Lynn Project, but from the decade plus of music that she's been making as Sukadiya, and really funneled it into, I think, her most stunning statement yet. This is the song Black Fly.
Nobody said it was easy, but it was so easy. Stand alone, the breeze in my hair, the wind in my head, a black fly coming round the bend. Is it a hide I'm looking for? Talking about, and you're coming up straight. Only two ways when you're looking down. Yeah, so forget the figure eight.
Didn't pay any attention to this record. I'm sorry, but thank you.
I think the thing that happens, not just for music critics, people that write about music or think about music all the time, but just fans sometimes too, is that, you know, when an artist gets into their fifth, sixth, seventh record and they're consistent with their output, we have sometimes there's a tendency to kind of like take that for granted a little bit, and not really dive into the growth of an artist like Sukadiya. I think every single record that she makes is better than the last one. And I haven't seen, I Year on the List, I have like a love-hate relationship with Year on the List, to be perfectly honest. But it always kind of bums me out when I see year after year when an artist like Sukadiya, who consistently puts out incredible material and is really like thinking about how to shapeshift herself, kind of get ignored. And I guess I want to spend some time like letting people like really think about this record. This is some of the most beautiful lyrics that she's ever written. She's like reaching Leonard Cohen level of poetry with this record, I think.
Another artist who actually got fairly ignored after releasing album after album.
Absolutely. Okay. And so I think Reaching for Indigo is absolutely a record worth spending a lot of time with, because it's not a grower, it's just kind of the thing that you should meditate on.
Awesome. What shall we leave everybody with?
There are two rock and roll records that I love this year. Speaking of albums I don't think got enough due, Sheer Mag's debut record. It's the statement I've been waiting for them to make for years. I love the three EPs that they put out. Yeah. They're solid. But this record that they put out, it's the best thing they ever did, and it bums me out that nobody else thinks the same. But the other one is there's a band from Vancouver called The Courtneys, and they released their second album, and it's just the Roman numeral 2. This was significant for a number of reasons. They released the record on a label called Flying Nun, which is a label based out of New Zealand, and in the 80s and 90s were very instrumental in documenting both the experimental and indie pop scene there. And they kind of come back in recent years to kind of like reissue the back, not only reissue the back catalog, but also to sign newer bands that kind of celebrate their kind of legacy in a way.
Yeah, so I was wondering if the Courtneys are somehow twin brothers from another mother's or whatever.
Right, sure, yeah, right. I get what you're saying. Yeah. They're absolutely influenced by the New Zealand indie pop scene and kind of like the experimentation that happened in the 80s and 90s.
Is there a band that people might say, oh yeah, that New Zealand?
The Clean, The Chills, okay. You know, they're not names that everybody knows, but if you spend any time in you know, underground independent rock music, you'll be like, oh, yes, The Clean and The yeah. Chills. If you need a good introduction to The Clean, Merge Records has reissued a lot of their music. Hmm. But they put out their second record, and it's got some of that Flying Nun indie pop. And it should be noted this is the first non-New Zealand band that has been signed to the label. But they've got a little bit of the New Zealand indie pop sound, but also a little bit of the krautrocky thing going on. At least that's a bed to a lot of the music. But it's also extremely poppy. It is really fun. It is three young women from Vancouver. All three of them sing in unison. And this is just one of my most favorite songs of the year. I saw them twice. They put on a hell of a live show. And this whole record just makes me incredibly happy. My favorite rock and roll record of the year.
Lars, you can follow Lars at Total Vibration.
Yes. Yeah, on Twitter, that's the handle I use for everything. So Twitter, Bandcamp, Instagram, other places.
And then you'll know what he posts online at NPR, and then other stuff that you do and fall in love with.
Absolutely. And I'm going to put together a Spotify playlist of like 100 like ridiculous amount of songs that I also love this year that I'll include on the page for this show. So if you like this realm but also happen to like top 40 pop music, it'll all be in one place.
Demi Lovato,
sure. Demi and Charlie XCX, yes, it'll all be in the same place as Red Death. And
one day in my brain I'm gonna understand why this all connects, other than just knowing you,
right?
But to me they're two completely different parts of my body, this music.
Yeah.
But thanks for doing this. I really love it.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Cheers. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.